special bit of World War II memorabilia has made its way to Newcastle this week, arriving on the back of a heavy haulage truck. The special vessel has found its new home right here in Newcastle. So what is going on and what are the plans for the future? The ABC's Kyle Carroll went down to check it out and caught up with chairman of the Hunter Anzac Memorial Group, Brad Wild, to find out more.
So we've just wandered into a big shed down here in Carrington, mate. What are we looking at?
Well, you're looking at the AH-173 Karari. So she's an 80-foot long, 15-foot wide, and 30-tonne hospital launch that was built in 1940s. So she's currently made of 1,000-year-old Yuin pine trees that were cut down in old-growth forests in Tasmania in that time.
How'd she find her way to Newcastle, Brett?
Well, that's a big story. We haven't got a lot of time, but we basically organised to road transport her from Tweed Heads down to here. So she left there on Friday and was put in the shed here on Sunday.
Now tell me a little bit about the history of her.
These vessels, there was originally 8 commissioned in 1940, and they're designed as hospital launches. And what they were designed to do is follow Australian forces around the Pacific Islands with Douglas MacArthur. They would launch themselves onto the beach because they got a shallow draft, and they would put 33 stretcher patients inside the hull and run them out to larger hospital ships offshore. These vessels were actually operated by the Army. People think because it's a boat, it was operated by the Navy. That's actually incorrect.
So when did the Karari find herself in the water, and where has she been?
For about the last 15 years, she's been out of the water. When she was first commissioned, she was commissioned in 1945. This particular vessel did not go to war, but of the 8 that were commissioned, 5 were only built, and Karari was the second last vessel. So she spent her time in the Army until about the early to late 1950s, and then she was sold at public auction. So since then, she's had 2 owners, and a charity's had her to try and put her back into the water.
So that charity before you, where were they located, and what was the logistics in terms of getting her down here to Newcastle?
Yeah, well, that charity was the Karari Inc. Incorporated. They were located in Tweed Heads. The problematic issues with a vessel of this size is that the cradle had to be engineered. Shipwrights had to look at her to see whether she's safe to transport. So on the semi-trailer, she ended up being 5 metres wide and 5 metres high. So it required 3 pilot cars all the way from Tweed Heads to Newcastle, and New South Wales Police involvement as well in the critical spots along the highway.
So it was a pretty big project. What's it like to see us sitting here in Carrington?
Oh, it's very exciting. It's very, very exciting. And we're very fortunate, without the support of Thales, to afford us shed space for the next 2 years while we undertake the detailed restoration. It's been terrific. So with their support, the support of organisations like Boom Logistics, the operational aspects of getting her here was really made quite easy.
Brett, you're the chairman of a pretty special group here in Newcastle. Tell me about what you guys do.
So Hunter Anzac Memorial Limited is a charity. We're actually approved by the federal government to use the term Anzac, and our patron is the Governor-General of Australia, David Hurley. So we're an organisation that's set up in the veteran space. So not taking away from traditional organisations like the Men's Shed, we've created the Military Members Shed as well as part of our organisation. So you get veterans who come and want to do work to support other veterans, and that's important for veterans to have that outlet, and especially in a structure and an organisation that they can appreciate from their time in military service.
So what role will the Karari play in terms of in this organisation? What's the plans?
The Karari, we're hoping that eventually when we get her back in the water within 2 years, that she'll become a recruiting poster for defence and showcase the attributes of military service. And we should remember that currently there are less than 3,000 World War II veterans left, according to DVA records, and I think it's very important to showcase that part of military history and that period of time where men who came out of Depression years went to war. And we've got to remember that Australian Defence Force, like many other nations, have gone to war to fight for the rights and freedoms of others, and we've never been to war in our history to defend ourselves.
This week as well, Brett, is Vets Health Week. Will the Karari, how will that impact in terms of helping Vets Health?
Well, I think the important thing to remember in Vets Health Week is it's not just physical health, but it's also the mental health. And a veteran suffering from PTSD in particular, and adjustments and disorders and those sorts of ailments, that their ability to actually provide hands-on and connect with the vessel. And as you can see, the size of her, she's a very tactile item. You know, being 80 foot long, you just want to go up and touch her. And that's what I'm saying, that we're giving an outlet for veterans to give back to future generations, because the service of Defence Force personnel is quite a unique aspect of life.
Mate, standing here in front of you, you're an engineer yourself. What emotions come to mind when you're standing in such an amazing vessel and looking at it now, in terms of there's work to be done, but when the finished product, how excited are you to get underway?
Oh, look, very excited. Can you imagine if you're a wounded soldier on the shores of PNG, and all of a sudden the Karari comes streaming up and she launches herself onto the, well, not necessarily the Karari because she didn't go to war, but the sister ships. And, you know, it sort of becomes the sea ambulance, you know, and you know that when they turn up, you're going to be fine. So, you know, it's a bit hard to describe that emotion that what soldiers would have felt at the time.
And can we run through a little bit of the aspects of the ship from the hull through to the, we've got small windows up there I can see too. Can you run us through a bit of how tactile she was in the water?
Yeah, she, as I said, she's a very shaft draft vessel. She was originally powered by two Hercules engines. Hercules engines were used by Studebaker trucks at the time, and they were petrol engines, not actually designed as a marine engine. So because she's got shallow draft, as I said, made of 1,000-year-old yew and pine trees from Tasmania, and she was built by a company called EA Jack in Tasmania, who built a lot of fishing trawlers and those sorts of vessels at the time. What is very exciting is you just stand and look at her and realise the ability that we had in Australia to make vessels, you know, not only steel vessels today, but timber vessels of that time. Inside, she is fairly original. The last two owners have kept her in an original state. The original surgery table is still there. The hooks that hold the stretchers up on the side of the ship. It's very interesting. And in the coming weeks, we'll get the scaffolding up and then we'll be able to get inside and people will be able to have a further look.
So what's the first thing from an engineering point of view that needs to be done to her?
So what will happen is that about 15 years ago, she was fiberglass. The hull has been completely fiberglass on the top deck. All that fiberglass now needs to come off. To a certain extent, according to the shipwrights, it's helped save her. But what's happened also in key spots, the water's got between the hull of the vessel and the fiberglass. So we'll engage a professional company to take all that fiberglass off. All the boards will be repaired and replaced as required. And at this stage, early indications are that we will re-fiberglass the vessel in an attempt to extend the life or the longevity of the vessel.
If a wounded vet was picked up on the Karari or a sister ship, how long would they spend on there?
They would only spend a matter of hours because this is basically what's called an inshore vessel. So she operates from mid-shore to inshore, and then she would run out to the larger hospital ship. So it's only a matter of hours, but there was always a surgical doctor on the ship and two nurses as well. So she would take 30 standard patients and 3 critical patients. Yeah.
Brett, since the moment I got here, I can see how passionate you are about the Karari and getting her back up to scratch and getting her back out onto the water. How important do you think it is to remember this history going forward and have projects like this in terms of, one, helping vets, but then also just remembering Australian history?
Yeah, I think it is very important because, as I said, military service is very unique to Australians. Our military is very well known around the world for our capability, and even from the early days of ANZAC all the way through to current times, Australia's military is thought of very highly, and I think to showcase that period of history is very important, because if we don't recognise the past, we don't have a future.
That's Brad Wild, Chairman of the Hunter ANZAC Memorial Group, explaining a little bit of that remarkable history of the World War II vessel here in Newcastle to be restored to her former glory and then used to support veterans going forward. So watch this space. I think it's something that you're going to hear more of over the coming months.